molecular electronics. So let's go to even smaller things. So history of a molecular electronics is by these dudes. So Aviram and Mark Ratner, already at the 70s, they fabricated this kind of fancy looking molecule with even more difficult name, which I don't even try to say, you can read it. And what they measured in this molecule was this kind of diode behavior. So it only at the one direction the current goes and other direction it doesn't. There wasn't not very good explanation, but if you look the diagram of this molecule, so this is exactly the diagram what we draw last hour. So here's a metal with a Fermi level here. Another metal with a Fermi level here. Then there's an other part of that molecule. This part marked A minus here. So that's a HOMO and LUMO states, so highest occupied and lowest unoccupied, which means that the Fermi level is somewhere between, because there's not enough electrons to occupy this. And also this part of the molecule, there's a HOMO and LUMO states. And they are situated like that in an energy diagram. Now, if you think there's a, now you can see that there's a certain voltage applied already, because these are not the same. This is not the same than this. And in this case, it's possible. Wait a second, which way it goes? Yeah, from here, you basically feel the electron. Wait a second, now it goes counterintuitive in my mind. I'm somehow. I would actually start here. Ah, yeah, because of this applied voltage, there is an electron at this state. That's why it's A minus, because it's ionized form. In a basic form, as you see here in a parenthesis, there's no minus. So this is a basic form, but when you connect them together like this, you always get one extra electron here and one electron missing here. That's why it's A minus and D plus. So that's a basic state when you connect these two molecules. So you have electron here and it can easily tunnel here, because it's kind of, you are losing energy. And now we are not exactly in a zero temperature, but room temperature. So you can give energy away to this thermal path. And from here, you can tunnel away because there's empty states available. So first happens this tunneling, and then this tunnels away to the metal, and also a new electron tunnel from here to this state. And then it continues forever. But if you try to do other way around, what happens is that you fill this state here, and then you fill empty this state to here. So you first transfer to metal to here and here to metal. And then you basically should go from this state to this state. But this energy difference is already too big. You can go down it because you can easily give energy away. But you cannot get that energy from thermal energy unless you heat your molecule really a lot. So that's why the current is blocked. So that's why in other direction there's no current, another direction there is. And as you can see, it only at a certain voltage it starts to conduct, this voltage where these match these. Okay, so this was kind of the first molecule. Then there was a quite a long period, nobody doing anything, or probably trying, but no results. But later in the 90s, Mark Reed and Jim Tour make this kind of a molecule and make this kind of a fancy nanofabrication system where they made a tiny hole in the silicon nitride membrane and filled the molecule in and then evaporated cold in both sides to connect to the molecule. And they saw similar behavior. At this time, there was no good explanation. It just worked. Maybe by luck or maybe by some clever design, which they couldn't very well explain, but it worked. And since that, so this is kind of citations to the molecular electronics paper since 90s, this is somewhere here, it has been kind of exploding. There's a lot of research going on. Okay, so let's look a little bit more about molecules, especially organic molecules. So this is something I assume Kaisa told, hybridization of the carbon. So you can you hybridize an S and P states and you can have a different hybridization states, SP1, SP2 and SP3, making a diamond lattice or hexagonal lattice or this free, how you call it in English? Covalent bond filler free lines. What is the name for that? Sorry, I'm a physicist. I don't remember. Triple covalent bond, let's call it. Close enough. And you can have this kind of different orbits. But let's look especially this SP2. That's a kind of double bond. So you can think your molecule like this. So you have a double bond, you have a single bond, you have a double bond, you have a single bond, and so on. Every second. So this is so-called conjugated. So here, conjugated molecule. And now, this double bond is basically possible to move to next position. Nothing changes. You see those small lines changing here, and then it can move back. So basically every time you change the position of this double bond, you move electron a little bit further. So you basically have a conductivity. Better way to explain this is that since we have a SP2, we have these pi orbitals sticking out from a surface, and they basically overlap, and there's no good definition actually where the double bond is. And you have this kind of a weak molecular orbit through the whole molecule. So you conduct through that. So this is kind of a molecular wire. And one, if you make that wire 2D, you come to graphene, which is exactly this hexagon. What is happening in my computer? Okay. Hexagon shape. So it's exactly these are three joints for every atom, every carbon atom. And very famous, there was a 2010, there was a Nobel Prize for this graphene. And this is single atom thick sheet of material. And here's some kind of properties of the material. It's nearly transparent, very efficient heat conductor, very good electrical conductor also. But the electrical conductivity has special properties. So if you now go a little bit more wider look, so we had this band structure in the previous class, these are wiggling lines. If you put these x-axis as a 3D coordinates, you end up surfaces. So you can recognize the same same coordinates here than was used in their x-axis. So it was lines across this kind of 3D plot. And now this is a conductance band. My computer is now lagging badly. And this is a valence band. And as you can see, most of the places, there's an energy gap. So this is not real, real coordinates here, but these are momentum coordinates. So these are again directions, which direction the electron is moving on your lattice. And you can see that only certain directions are possible freely. There's no gap at all. So it's kind of metallic behavior. And actually, if you zoom in there, you have this kind of, how is this? Metallic cones, two cones, where tips are connected. And these are linear dispersion, which is very rare. It means that kind of movement is relativistic. So electron moves really easily and fast in this direction. But only to these directions. But if you have a sheet of graphene and you put voltage between, electrons can move whatever direction they feel best, and of course they move this direction, because that's the easiest. But if you take a roll of this graphene, roll it, the tube, you get carbon nanotube. The carbon nanotube is only a few nanometer thick. So that's basically box for electrons. That's again this particle in the box situation. And only certain energies are possible for electrons. Not anymore any direction, but only certain. And if you roll your tube so that these directions are possible, then you have a good conductivity. If you roll it so that only these directions are possible, then you have an insulator. And if everything between is a semiconductor. So that's why carbon nanotube can be insulator, conductor, or semiconductor. And here's a basically, you just take one end of and roll it to this end, and this kind of coordinates tell you how you roll it. And basically every first is a metallic. If you start to do different rollings. Of course, you don't roll the graphene to make a carbon nanotube. That's not possible, but you can think it, imagine like that. And you can make a field effect transistor. So we had this transistor which has an N and two points where you put current through and you induce a channel between. This channel can be carbon nanotube. And you can apply voltage there to kind of rebel electrons away, then there's no conductivity, your channel is closed. Or you can put a positive voltage to attract more electrons, then your channel opens. And this is a usual behavior for transistor, but in a carbon nanotube, there's a little bit different thing. With positive voltage, you can induce more electrons, more conductivity. With negative voltage, you can rebel the electrons, less conductivity. But if you put negative voltage enough, you dope it to p-type, and then you have a hole, and then again you have a conductivity. So you can open it with a positive or negative voltage, which is not usual. And this is called this ambipolar behavior. So you can open it negative and positive voltage. Also, in a graphene sheet, you can dope this part positive by voltage and this negative, and then again positive. And now if you think this NP joint, that's kind of diode. So current don't go from N to P. And now if you put current in here, it has to stay in this area because it cannot go to P. And here's your method current, how it flows through the graphene. So you can make wires inside a graphene without cutting your graphene. And exactly same way than in a semiconductor, we had this valence band and conduction band. So here we have a HOMO and LUMO and gap between, and all these states are filled. These are empty, same way than here, filled, empty. And if we put a donor, so n-type doping, we generate some extra electrons on conduction band. Same way in a molecule, we can put some chemical compound which gives one electron. So we can dope our molecule to n-type. Also, we can dope it to p-type to put some chemical compound which beams one electron away from a molecule. And this was also in a Nobel Prize in Chemistry 2000, or much earlier already. And now if you can think molecular p-n junction. So this area, if you look it, you can see that there's a double, single, single, double, single, double, single, double. So it's conjugated system. Just all the time, these pi orbits are making molecular orbits, so this is kind of conducting. And then you have electron withdrawing group. Now I don't know chemistry well enough to say what it is. Oxygen or nitrogen most probably, which way it goes. But you put some atom here which withdraw one electron away from here. So you dope it to a p-type, this part. Then you have connection to the metal, and this is exactly the thiol, as you can see, sulfur, which we discussed earlier. So this basically is a tunnel junction. Here you have also tunnel junction, and here also. And here you have a similar group than here, but now you have an electron donating group. So you have extra electron here. So this is n-type and this is p-type. And if you this bridge is, for example, dimethylene group, some hydrocarbon, not conjugated one. And if you draw the energy diagram from this system, at a zero voltage, it looks like that, and nothing happens. But if you start to increase voltage, so this goes higher and this goes lower, like that, then of course these move a little bit also, because they are, there's a capacitive connection here, so they are a little bit moving also. So what you get to this kind of situation that you can easily take an electron from here to an empty state here above the Fermi level, and then you tunnel through this middle barrier to empty state here, and then you can tunnel away to empty state again. But if you draw this other way around, you cannot match any energy states, and there's no current flowing. Then you can tunnel from electron from here to here, but no further. So this is really working as a diode. So in here, you can easily see that electrons can tunnel through it. And here actually, no, because from here, if you take electron here, there's gap, there's no states available. Only these states are available, but they are filled. So you are blocked immediately. And if you start come from other way around, yeah, same thing. Everything is filled or there's no states. So only in one direction this can happen. And now if you take a look of this clever design later, you notice that it's actually very similar to this original. So you have here pi conjugated part, and then you have this kind of electron donating part and electron withdrawing part. So it was basically the same design, but they didn't know exactly what they were doing. Oh, I don't know how well they know. But Then you can do also single electron molecule, single molecule, single electron transistor. If you take this kind of a molecule, as you can see, it's conjugated fully, so it's basically conducting. Then you have a tidal connections to the gold. So these are your tunneling barriers. And if you have two tunneling junctions and something conducting in between, this is exactly the single electron transistor, what we draw here earlier. So this is your tunneling possibility to the gold electrode, tunneling, and then you have something conducting between, which is now our molecule. And you can see exactly this kind of Coulomb blockage. So there's no current going here, and then there is current depending on your gate voltage, as we draw an hour ago. So this is really tiny single electron transistor. But how you can make this in practice? How you put your molecule? You just put it on a chip and take a multimeter and measure it. That's not probably happening. So there's several ways. Easiest way is so-called mechanical break junction. This means that you take a metallic wire. This is my metallic wire. And then you start bending it so that it breaks. And then you take these back and hope you got a molecule with it. Really hope. So this you need to repeat some millions of times, and then you get some measurements with a molecule between. This is still very common. You can repeat it fast and you can measure it fast and make a statistics. But and if your system is clever enough, you can even freeze it exactly at the position where they are almost touching and one molecule is there. And this is, for example, SEM image of one of these kind of structures. So you have a silicon here, it's a little bit above, and you have a weak link here. And then you push your silicon chip so that it bends a bit. It really doesn't need to bend a lot. Few nanometers is enough. So silicon is bending that small amount. And then it breaks, and then you put it back. I hope you have a molecule. Okay, you can increase your probability. So this is just trial and error by luck. If you make a self-assert monolayer, we discussed earlier. So you make your gold wire, you cover it, your self-assert monolayer, for example, this kind of tile, bend sending your tile so it makes so exactly monolayer. And it has tile group also in the other end. It means that then you break your gold wire, your monolayer is covering everything in the both sides. So they easily move anyway around, so they will feel it. And then you put them back together. At some point, one of these molecules is connected by both of a tile group to both of the electrodes. And then you can measure the conductivity through that. Other ones are not connected, so they are just insulating. Okay, what is the probability to get only one? I don't know. You probably need to repeat still a couple of thousand times. Okay, if you want more control, you can use scanning tunneling microscope. So you can make a self-assembled monolayer with only few of these interesting molecules, what you are looking for. And of course, in, for example, in this example, this interesting molecule is longer than the other molecules, of course, because otherwise you don't detect it. And then you just make a monolayer, and then you go to STM to image, and you can actually see these single molecules there, because they are sticking out. They are higher than every other molecule. And then you find one, you park your tip on top of that, and then you can use your tip as an electrode and measure your current through. Another electron is, of course, this gold layer here below. And these are not affecting anything because they are kind of insulating hydrocarbon tails only. They are not conducting. So this is one possibility. Then people are also using atomic force microscope. So for example, here they put the DNA between two electrodes, and they made a by e-beam lithography the electrodes, and then they just throw in the DNA, hoped it connected. And if you have long enough DNA, yeah, it will at some point. And then they put a atomic force tip in the middle of DNA and measure the conductivity from that to one of our electrodes. So they could vary the length of a DNA they measure. There was a little bit more sophisticated method. So this is also, now I don't remember, was it STM or atomic force microscope? Some scanning probe microscope anyway. So, and they had a tip oscillating. So most probably it was a tapping mode AFM. So basically you have your tip oscillating all the time. And every time it hits the surface, you have covered your tip with a gold, and you have a gold surface. So if you start tapping it, so here you can see that every time you are pulling it out, you are forming for a little while this kind of gold atom chain. And this is so small chain that you see exactly quantized conductivity, what we discussed earlier. So, and while you are tapping, you are measuring the current. So basically what you see here in the x-axis is kind of the position, how much you are pulling it. You don't need to care exactly, is it exactly the position or not, but it's about the force and position, how much you are pulling it. And you can see that at here you have a three conduction channels. So this unit is exactly the unit of one conduction channel here, as you can see. So here you have three conduction channel, then one disappear because you are pulling more, your wire gets thinner, then there's only one left, and then zero, and then it's lit up, no connection anymore. You can repeat this, I think it was this 2 kilohertz range, so 2000 times per second. And every time you record this kind of trace of your current. And now you take a histogram of these currents. So you kind of neglect your X value, and you just see how many values, how many of each values you have here. And of course, for example, in here at position one, you have many points here because you stayed there longer. But here you visited only very short time, so you have basically one point. And if you take 10,000 of this kind of curves, make a histogram, what you see is these peaks at the quantized conductivity. So this is again repeating the measured quantized conductivity, not so interesting, but if we zoom in here, what happens before it goes exactly zero? Because we have these molecules floating around. Also, They don't have a tile, but they have this amine type of group, which also connects to gold. At just when this detached, there could be single molecule connecting. Or two molecules or three molecules. And if you make this zoom into this current curves here, you can see this kind of plateau. And they happens to be almost at the same positions every time. Okay, you repeat this enough many times and you make a histogram. And you see the peaks. So this is conductivity of a single molecule, two molecule, three molecule. And you have measured the conductivity of your molecule. And if you don't have a molecules here, they just go exponential down. There's no peaks anywhere. So this is a nice way to measure conductivity of a molecule. But of course, you have to have a molecule that sticks in. Also, there's a nice molecule. So you make a carbon nanotube and you make a lithography. So this PMMA is a resist, what we discussed a week ago. And then you make a plasma etching. So you make a gap to your carbon nanotube and you functionalize these by carboxyl groups. And then you connect your molecule between those carboxyl groups. This is also, it was published in a Science some 15 years ago. Nice way also to measure single molecules. So people have invented many, many clever ways. Also, people, they fabricated this kind of matrix. So this is pretty old measurement already, but it's a nice example. So they fabricated this kind of wires by lithography. And then they covered this whole surface with this kind of molecule. So this is some kind of rhodopsin molecule because there's a ring around. So they covered everything and then they connect the other end, the metal, and fabricated another side of a metal wires. So all these fabricated wires, they have some kind of lithography. Now I think it was a nano imprint lithography they used. And at the final end, they etch. So they etch this connection metal here. But this acts as a mask and is not etched under it. And what you are left is here, gold wire connected to this other wire by these molecules. And this is, of course, they made it like a matrix. So there's a many, many, many connections. So it's kind of memory element, where one memory unit consists of these two wires crossing and a few molecules between. And then you could apply voltage and move this rhodopsin from this side to another side. And that was your memory. And it worked. It's cycling over months. But okay, months is not very good for you. You don't buy a USB stick which says that after 2 months, it's dead. But still, you could put it to a really tiny, tiny place, and your memory bit is single molecule. Okay, later they published another paper where they're saying the rhodopsin wasn't moving at all. Actually, it was just a oxidizing of this other end group. Even they in the first paper claim that rhodopsin is moving, well, that's what they thought was happening. But anyway, it worked as a memory. Was it a rhodopsin or not? So this is in that sense, this is a nice example. And also is an example that everything is not always as you think it is. Then of course, there's a lot of studies about DNA conductivity, because in a DNA, every base is conjugated. As we discussed also earlier, also they have these pi orbits, which are overlapping to next base. So you have this called pi-pi stacking, where you are stacking conjugated molecules with a pi connection, pi orbital connection. So you basically could have a nice conducting channel between. And it has later now turned out. So there was early experiments. First, it was chemical in a solution. There you can see the conductivity. Then came a physicist for that, yes, so we have a conductivity. So let's make a circuit. Let's put it in between the electrode in a vacuum that nothing harms it. But what is a DNA in a vacuum? It's no more DNA. DNA helix, to have this form, it needs 14 water molecules per base. So it, of course, deformed totally and it was insulator. And there were so many, many studies trying to get it conducting. And later, there was more detailed studies. We have also contributed that to show that really you have to have these water molecules, but humidity is enough. Anyway, unfortunately, it's too fragile to make a DNA origami to make a circuit which directly assembles to the processor. It's not good enough conductor, too fragile. And anyway, you have to connect it to other electricity which you don't want to dip in the salt water to work. Okay, so we can end up here. So this is a brief summary of a molecular electronics which you can easily read. Okay, any questions?